The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, it's that time of the week. It's the greatest Tuesday of panel week, and it's time for the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Little John, but in studio with me today,
Matt Dixon.
And Matt.
Yes.
It has been an entire week already, and we had all this lead-up where all we talked about is election, and...
The last time we were sitting here, that's what we were talking about, and we were watching the numbers.
It is literally what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And so, and Matt and I actually finished the day out pretty much together. I think I, about 10 minutes to midnight before we finally parted ways, and it was when the elections started to get called, and we were just kind of stunned through that whole process a little bit.
Well, yeah, a sweep, that's stunning.
Yeah.
A popular vote that swings Republican for the first time in 20 years, that's a pretty
It was fairly
event.
Stunning. I mean, it truly was. And then to look at, I think, both the House and Senate flipping as well.
Yeah.
I am really reluctant to use terms like mandate, because when you really get down to it, it's like, 53 to 47, and people are like, it's a landslide. And I'm like, yeah, and a whole bunch of people didn't vote. And there's a whole, so I don't really know that we've nailed anything. But politically speaking, it was pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have Trump kind of defying historical precedent by being only the second president to ever have a split term now.
Yeah.
Right, I think it was it Grover Cleveland? Was that the other? It doesn't matter. But I mean, anyway, he had a term in between where he was ousted and then he came back. Okay,
yep.
We're not going to talk anything about like the hows, the whys, or any of the stuff about the election, because honestly, there's a bunch of those probably above my pay grade.
Well, and it's in the past now. That as crazy as that sounds, here we are. We're living in it right now. So what's going on? What's next? That's what we're always trying to look for on this show. What's next?
Yep. And so we thought about the interesting thing here, especially locally, right? Here in Douglas County where we are at, it's a fairly red county. Right? I'm not exclusively, but it's pretty red.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a lot of folks that were sort of pulling for this outcome, and they get it, right? And there's sort of a victory lap mentality, but not everybody feels that way. And I thought it'd be really interesting if we took a look at some of the things that have been said that may be coming in a Trump policymaking smorgasbord, if you will, right? And like, what do we think the impact of that might be?
Well, it's important for investors, and it's important for us because this is what we do, right? We're trying to kind of look into the future the best that we can and make some predictions so that we can better help our clients. This is our job.
Yeah. So you're going to get a little perspective on like how Matt and I and the rest of the team are trying to break down what we're seeing, and you're going to see some of it in real time.
Yes.
Right, we've talked a little bit about this stuff, but some of this Matt and I we're unpacking this in real time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are some of the things that are sort of in the rumor mill that are out there?
Let's start kind of with the low hanging stuff that everyone's kind of talking about, and we'll get to the more
exotic
stuff.
Let's rapid fire a few things, and then we'll come back. I know you've got a little bit of agenda, but just tell me some of the things that you've heard.
Well, obviously Trump's talked about wanting to make manufacturing inside of the U.S. stronger.
Right, okay,
right?
So the onshoring of jobs. Yeah.
So I think one of the big ones we should talk about is kind of how do tariffs affect that maybe some of the different sectors, the economy at large, like where does that play a role in for our investors? And I think, one of the big ones is tariffs.
So tariffs, onshoring, energy policy, certainly been a big one.
Yep.
Should we see more oil being pumped out of the ground?
What about the mass deportation claims?
The securing the border, but then there's a bunch of folks that have, illegally crossed the border, and now it's like, well, now what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's a lot of folks that are in the economy, and so what's the impact of changing that circumstance?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that that's a really fair question.
Yep.
Okay. What are some of the other questions?
Well, we're riding the coattails of massive inflation, right? And
yep.
Fed changes with interest rates. So I think that we should kind of look at like the inflationary pressures and how that might affect what Trump's, you know, proposing and what he kind of plans to do. That's a big piece.
And here's an interesting sort of coattail to that. There's been a lot, you know, Trump's been pretty vocal about not liking a lot of the methodology or the red tape that's in the financial sector in general.
I hadn't even thought about talking about that.
So the
today,
whole
yeah.
banking phenomenon and what that could mean and the price of capital.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one is a little vaguer to me, but Trump has sort of been fairly pro cryptocurrency.
Oh, and I mean, did you see Bitcoin?
Yeah, no, it's soaring.
It's absolutely crazy. I think yesterday it went over $87,000 a coin.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me, like Bitcoin and Tesla are like the ones that got away for me.
Yeah.
Right? Like I always say, like, that's the fish story about like, oh, you should have seen me hauling it in. Nope, got away. No
and
picture.
And it broke you off. Yeah.
And that's what it sort of feels like. And we could talk all about like, I mean, there's plenty of good wins to talk about. We've had good wins.
Hey, but you know what? One of those fundamental principles, and we talk about it on the show all the time, is invest in things that you understand.
Right.
I can't tell you I understand enough about Bitcoin to feel confident investing in it.
Yeah, I can understand cryptography, but
sure.
It's strange to me. Like, it's easier for me to understand how the dollar started as a dollar and became a fiat currency.
Mm-hmm.
But I see Bitcoin as right out of the gate being sort of a socially sourced.
It's a mystery box.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know why it has value other than because people say it has value.
Exactly.
And then when somebody goes, well, that's the only reason the dollar has value.
Have you ever paid for anything in Bitcoin?
So I've never had Bitcoin.
Right. That's my big problem with it. It's like, it's not that easy to get your hands on. I can get my hands on cash really easily. I go to the bank, I pull the money, I get paid in cash, like the US dollar, like...
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
And it's weird to me. I have a brother who's a CPA. He's done some of this crypto stuff. And the number of steps to get to it, it's like, well, first you have to go here to get money into a system. And then you have to port over to this spot to buy things here. And then you have to convert it over there.
Yeah.
And then come back to this spot to do that. And I'm like, that is a weird multi-step
process. And then
what
do you cash your Bitcoin in for?
I don't know.
Dollars.
Yeah,
That's the problem. Like, that's what kills me. I'm like, no. Nope. I'm not interested. You can be interested. That's fine. I'm not personally interested.
It just resembles to me like other historical markets that were like big bubble markets. It seems like the Dutch tulip phenomenon all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's everybody that's like, oh, it's valuable for this, that, and the other. I go, it's valuable because people agree that it's valuable.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm like, okay, but what is the blockchain on Bitcoin securing? Itself. Okay. Well, no, there's other things that it's stacked on and connected to now. And I'm like, which are derivatives? I mean, like, I don't get it.
If you don't get it,
there you go.
It might be a good idea to stay away from it.
But the bigger fool theory is like, right now, I am the bigger fool. Of course, I could say I'm the bigger fool on Tesla.
Sure.
Right. Several years ago, I was like, they don't make any money. I don't get it. And they are still, I mean, now there's money that comes through it.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the government supplements a ton of it. I don't really think it's green. I think all the things. And I like Teslas, just so you're clear. Like, they are really cool to drive. It's like a super rocket ship cell phone.
But the investment portion of it.
Yeah, it just baffles me. So I'm like, well, I went other places, right? Well, you missed out on a million, kerbillion percent return. It's like, well, I missed out on a radically speculative climb, yes. But our investment returns, you know, I guess these are subjective when I say I think they were reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Subjective term, but whatever.
I look at Tesla, this is getting into the weeds, but I look at it as the trendy thing to do in the moment, right? Like, Ford has been around for how many years, right? Like, Ford is ingrained in the DNA of American culture. I look at Tesla and I'm like, what happens when it's not the cool car?
Well, and I can't see how Tesla...
They don't sell that many rigs.
Yeah. So let me be clear. I'm not giving you advice on this one, but just for a second, let's talk about why this is confusing relative to Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Trump is about pushing more energy domestic production, much of it fossil fuels, and the value proposition of Tesla was... electricity gets cheaper because we burn more fossil fuels, so then Teslas become more affordable. That doesn't make sense.
No.
Like, so
why is
fuel goes down, so people choose the electric because it's not cheap? No, that doesn't make sense. Like,
why is Tesla
like people
surging?
Buy SUVs when the fuel prices go down, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they get, less fuel efficient vehicles when fuel is cheap. It's like I'm really struggling to make the connection here, other than Donald Trump and Elon Musk seem to be buddies.
And so Tesla
and Elon Musk equals
nuts.
Tesla.
Yeah.
So the stock goes up. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not really a case for anything other than popularity contest unlocked, right?
Yep.
And that's kind of how I feel about Bitcoin,
too. And this kind of goes back to my, we were talking about this earlier today off air. I'm like, how much does the retail investor, not the big institutions like your BlackRock's or, you know, your Fidelity's, how much is the retail investor driving the stock market right now?
I worry about the stampede right now.
It is. It's a stampede to get in.
Stampeding into the market.
Yep.
And you know what? The markets can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent, right? You mm-hmm. fight this thing. Or you can get into, we've talked about this on the show before, lemming scrum,
mm-hmm.
right? You can yeah. be in the lemming scrum. The question is, are you going to jump off the cliff at some point?
Right.
Because that's where the lemmings go.
Well, if you follow the lemmings long enough, you probably do jump off the cliff.
So
it's like.
Anyway. Well, we are talking about taking this show in the lemming scrum off the beaten path here.
Yep.
Let's get back to home base. I know we did some prep work here. I think one of the biggies, I mean, because Trump just pounded this on the campaign trail too, was all about tariffs. So let's kind of unpack some of these things. I know we've got some stuff to talk about with tariffs.
So, like, obviously, manufacturing inside the U.S. border could see a possible bump.
Okay.
Like,
what you're going to get from me a bunch is why.
Just okay. because jobs, right? Like we saw it with John Deere. Trump came out and said, don't go and build another factory in some other area that's not the United States. You're going to get issues from me if you do it. And so what happens? You know, John Deere probably looks at that and says, all right, fine. We'll build inside the U.S. border.
Okay.
Right.
So we're going to, well, let's have a conversation. We're going to go to like tariffs 101 for a second.
Let's
do talk
it.
About how these connect. But I look at, why don't we do this? Let's grab the first break. Okay. We'll do that. On the flip side of it, when we come back, let's get into this tariff concept. What, why, how, does it work or not? Is Trump crazy? Any of those things.
We're going to
get in it. But first, we got to take a break. So stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. If you were just joining us, you can get caught up by grabbing the podcast at littlejohnfs.com. We are talking about the impact of the possible changes in policy that the Trump administration may bring, and we're talking about tariffs right now.
Yeah.
So, Matt, at the break,
mm-hmm.
we suggested that there may be a bloom in domestic manufacturing because of tariffs.
Yeah.
Why is this?
Well, you know, you look at how a tariff works, right? And you're basically putting an extra kind of tax on something that's coming into the country. And so if goods are being made outside of the country and then imported, and you're imposing a tariff, at a certain point, you know, you would expect that good to be cheaper to produce inside of our border.
Yeah,
and that's kind of why I was like, well, you could expect companies to want to start doing stuff here instead of overseas, just because it's cheaper at a certain point.
Right. I mean, usually the jobs go overseas because it's cheaper.
Right.
Yeah. Right. If it was cheaper to build them here, they'd never go overseas in the first place.
Exactly.
So the idea would be that before whatever is produced overseas comes back, a tariff increases the cost, and at some point, a tariff increases the cost so much that it negates the value of sending the labor overseas,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have to look at, why would you send it overseas? Either the quality is superior or the speed is superior.
And rarely is the quality superior.
Right. So if that's the case, then you start to go, okay, well, then if you negate the benefit of sending production overseas and bringing it back, then you have either countries that are not domiciled in the United States, they're not shipping it over and bringing it back. They're just starting over there and bringing it in, right? I mean, I think about Honda,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a Japanese-based company. So
yeah.
they build cars and they ship them to the United States.
Yep.
And so what we're saying is, well, we're not sending it over to Japan because it's cheaper for the U.S. to build cars in Japan and ship them back. They're just saying, well, Japanese have a value proposition of their cars are built in a way that Americans want, and they come back over. They just get more expensive.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, German cars, same thing. We're not, Germans aren't building American cars and shipping them back. They're building German cars and shipping them here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So tariffs impact that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What I think is really interesting is a lot of the stuff that we do ship overseas, right?
Mm.
Or that's manufactured overseas and brought back. iPhones. Right? iPhones are, they're engineered in the U.S., but they're manufactured in China. Tariffs would have a major impact on Apple hardware.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Apple, that's one that you could watch. I know last time when we had Trump kind of in office and things were moving around, this was kind of on the coattails of his presidency, but soybean exports, we started putting tariffs on China, right? And that really, it can really mess with the agricultural space. Because you got to think, food is moving in and out of the country
believe. It has to be timely, right? It has an expiration date.
Yeah. And so you start putting tariffs on crops, it's like, I think the export numbers like changed about 50% almost overnight on soybeans alone when we started messing with tariffs. So food, that can be really affected.
So the thing about tariffs that's interesting to me is it's sort of pitched in an all or nothing, right? I don't know that tariffs are inherently disastrous. However, I mean, tariffs in a sense are an economic form of incentive or warfare.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, extreme tariffs can shut a market off.
Yep.
You know, if you just say, well, all right, well, 1,000% tariff on all Chinese goods and services.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, well, we're just non-competitive. We can't get anything in anymore. It's not worth it.
Yep.
All right. That's basically an embargo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a possibility if you want to compel behaviors.
Here's what I want you to think about.
Yeah.
Think about the tech sector for a moment. Think of how much like chip production comes out of Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like close to 80% of the world's production just from one company. So the tech sector, and you mentioned Apple, right? Like all of this tech is largely outside of our border. So what do tariffs do to that sector? When we look at the S&P 500, here's one for you. I don't know if I have the number in front of me, but like, if you look at the PE ratio, the price that you have to pay for a dollar of earnings just in the tech sector versus where it historically has been, it's astronomical right now how high it is compared to where it's been in the past.
Right.
And so I'm like, I just start thinking about the tech sector and I'm like, what do these tariffs do there? That really blows my mind. Like, what are the effects? Here's one for you. In 2023, the PE ratio of the tech sector was 34, with its historical average around 20. And I bet you anything it's higher today than it was in 2023, because the markets are even higher today than they were then.
Sure.
So I'm like, man, that's one to really think about.
Yeah. So here's the devil in the details kind of point, though. What if the tariffs don't end up being that crazy, right? You know, if you think about the things that politicians say to get elected versus the things that actually happen,
right,
or the threat of something being enough to change behavior without ever actually doing it,
that's the big one.
I mean, this is an interesting one. How many fights have been avoided simply because somebody was so intimidating that nobody bothered to challenge them? Right? And this is a, what was it, Roosevelt that used to say, walk softly and carry a big stick?
Yeah.
Right? And so that was an interesting concept. Is that the equivalent? Is this jawboning by Trump to say, come in line with more equitable, or at least in his terms, equitable, trade practices?
Yeah.
Or else?
Yep.
And then people will go, well, the or else sounds terrifying, so we're going to come around.
it's a balancing act, in my opinion, right? Because, you know, when you think about it, we need jobs in the United States. We need production here. And at some point, it's kind of a national security crisis, where if everything you get is outside of your border and things go sideways, right? Like, at a certain point, like, that's potentially really damaging to your country in the event that supply chains get broken. So you kind of have to be able to manufacture at least some of your stuff inside of the border. But if you run the tariffs up too much, well, now you're causing economic strain because inflation, right? Like, someone has to pay that price. I know back in 2019, Apple said that the tariffs that were implemented had caused the cost of an iPhone to go up $10 a phone, just based off of the tariff. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but you look at how many iPhones are sold, that price is, you know, kind of passed down to the consumer a little bit, and it's like inflationary pressure.
I'm going to play
devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate.
Do it.
With a position
like
that I don't necessarily fully agree with.
Sure.
But it's fun to articulate.
I like it. What do you got?
What if we, by not putting tariffs on other countries' goods and services, we are in effect condoning human rights violations?
Okay, I can follow you here.
Okay,
yeah.
So in the case of, you know, one of the things that is documented,
mm-hmm.
right, would be some of the conditions in Apple facilities where they actually had an environment that workers were jumping from buildings to commit suicide because they felt the working conditions were so oppressive. And so what happened in China? They put safety nets around the buildings.
I'm sorry,
right?
I'm laughing.
I mean, it's the absurdity is why we laugh.
That's
right?
What it is. Like, instead of improving the conditions, let's just not let them kill themselves so they can get back to work when they realize they made a mistake.
Right.
And yikes.
So exactly. There's a big yikes on that one.
Well, and it's not just Apple.
Hang on, because I'm not done, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go, and Apple then would have the audacity, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but the audacity to come along and say, well, you know, if we don't, this is the sort of equivalent putting words in their mouth too, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we don't exploit these workers, iPhones are going to go up $10 a phone, and that's just going to increase inflation in America. And it's like,
well,
so wait a second
though.
Here. You have radical profit margins already, and you're saying that you can't afford the $10 of margin in the hundreds of dollars per phone that you make.
Right.
And so you will pass that on to the consumer and screw the worker?
Oh, but I'll play devil's advocate to that.
You're right. No, go.
Yeah. So I'm over here like, okay, yeah, we tariff it. The iPhone's $10 more, but guess who's still making the iPhone? The people jumping out of the buildings.
So
I guess the only resolve here, if you want to like fix the human rights violations, is you make it so expensive to build the iPhone there that it's built in the United States, and then your iPhone is $3,000 instead of $1,000.
Yeah, maybe. Because at some point you also look at the margin and you go... The question is really... This is a real question for the consumer to tackle here.
I'm ready for it.
Okay. If you don't see it, does it still happen? Right, somebody that buys a Tesla saying this is a green vehicle, only to then we say, oh yeah, well, who's mining the rare earth minerals in Africa?
Yeah,
with
mm-hmm.
child labor.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
who's doing that? Right, and then you go, we don't want to talk about that. Like, yeah, you don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Nope.
That's a terribly uncomfortable thing, and it's really getting in the way of your virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Right? And
yeah.
So that's the issue here, is that when we start to talk about tariffs from a little bit of moral high ground, it's like, hey, what if we need to do this? Because if the United States is going to set a worker quality standard, but it's going to make us uncompetitive in the global marketplace, we can either say, well, the global marketplace is fine, we'll just go there instead, unless it's a human rights violation.
Mm-hmm.
And we really are the ones that get to interpret that.
The
problem is that when the consumer doesn't see it and doesn't feel it, they tend to be okay with it.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're just talking about China, right? Well, let's keep
exactly.
beating that drum. But, you know, you could make the argument that China's really fighting a silent war against the United States.
Hey, I could make the argument that sometimes U.S. labor gets out over its skis. I thought the longshoremen strike that wanted to forbid automation in the ports, thought that was a really inappropriate thing. It's like, so you're trying to protect your job and force the price of labor higher because you have essentially a monopoly and you can strong arm it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, that's the flip side of labor where you go, okay, where's the counterbalance to that? You know, and so, okay, and I'll admit, I don't have all the details here, but I'm like, I got enough details to go, something doesn't smell right.
Right.
In either of those extremes.
What we both know is that these tariffs have big implications.
Absolutely.
Depending on how they're handled, and we don't quite know the effects yet. We just know that it's going to have some effects.
And here's kind of another key takeaway. Because they're not guaranteed, right? These tariffs may be part of a negotiation strategy. Keep in mind that walking in and asking for something really ridiculous, you know, hey, Matt, can I have a kidney? And you're like, what? I said, just kidding. Can I borrow 20 bucks?
And then you're like, oh, 20 bucks doesn't sound so
exactly.
bad.
Exactly. I just reframed everything. It's like, well, not a kidney, but can I borrow 20 bucks? And you're like, well, you're going to pay me back? It's like, yeah. And you're like, sure, that's not so unreasonable anymore, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so what if there's some of that going on, right? Where you try to go in with a big threat only to come back and be a lot more reasonable, but it's a way to calibrate the discussion before it ever starts.
Here's a conspiracy theory for you for the day. What if it is such a big deal that the tariffs are less about the economy and less about the cost of goods and literally just a national security crisis where it's like, I'm going to make you make the stuff in the United States because I have good intel that says that at a certain point, we can't do business with China at all.
Holy cow. I'm going to need a bigger foil hat. But wow. Okay. And on that note, we will totally take a break. Just stew on that for a minute, right?
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the next elephant in the room. And this one's a biggie. We're going to see, I guess, who we can piss off. And we may surprise you, too. Immigration.
Ooh, yay.
Ooh, let's play. Stick around. Cool. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
We got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
No. Stop. Stop now. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with...
the guy that's just trying to break David down and make him pull out his hair.
It's not going to happen. Because here's how it goes down, right? You can do all the things to try to like spool me up, and it doesn't actually
even keeled.
No, it's not that. Let's think of it more like I'm just way less partisan than I used to be.
Okay,
right? I still voted for the person that I wanted to, right? And I believe in policy and so forth. I just don't think that a vote for one party automatically means that all of the ideas of the other party are trash. Right? I just don't buy into that because really I'd be like a libertarian, which is a lost cause politically. Right? Because I'm like, look, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a social agnostic, meaning get the government out of social policy.
You're like, good old fashioned Ron Swanson.
I'm pretty Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
I really am. I mean, like, as long as you're not hurting other people, I'm kind of like, cool, you know? So, but, you know, yeah, if you wanted to cut the tree down in your yard, it's like, well, it's your yard. Just don't let the tree fall on my house. Anyway. Oh, yeah. By the way, this one really, you want me to poke the bear in a hurry? I'm going to get you on this one, I bet.
Oh, boy, I'm ready.
Yeah. This is the one where I go, hey, it's your yard, so cut the tree down. Unless you're in an HOA and you agreed to it. You signed the contract that you would get permission from your neighbors.
I almost went there, David. I almost was like,
yeah, because everybody's like, oh, HOAs suck. And I'm like, but if you agreed to it, then you're on the hook, man. That's the social contract you're in, the actual contract you're in. So it's like, you can get all butthurt about it, but if you can't cut the tree down without permission of 37 neighbors and you don't like them, it's tough. You sign the agreement. You're there.
Yeah.
Right? And that's always been the thing, is like, don't sign a contract and then decide to selectively enforce the law. And speaking of selectively enforcing the law, that's part of our segue right now. We promised we're going to talk about immigration. I'm going to make a hard pivot there. And this one is something that, talk about a lightning rod.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and for good reason, but not the reasons that you're hoping I'm going to say, some of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, I'm not going to say, oh, the United States is so benevolent, we should let everybody in here and because we're compassionate. I'm going to be like, no, that's actually not it. What I'm going to say is countries, in order to be countries, need to have borders.
Well, the thing is, you can legally immigrate here. It's
yes,
possible.
You can.
Like, ask my brother. He's married to someone who legally, you know, came into this country, did it the right way. It's, they did the, they did the process. There's steps to take. You can come here.
Yep. And I mean, I'll say all day long, you don't like the immigration system, let's get it reformed. But
yep.
There's a reason we're not reforming it, and it's primarily because it's politically useful for dividing people.
Absolutely.
And what you get is, on the one hand, a bunch of people that said, are you really going to have mass deportations of 11 to 14 million people? You're just going to kick these people out? They're our neighbors. They're our friends.
Mm.
They're here, and like, they're contributing, and they're good people. And it's like, so that's where we went with it, huh?
Yeah.
Right? That's where we went with it, was that we talk all about the deportation and not about that the fact that the border was incentivizing people to come over illegally.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm like, I got news for people. This will piss them off. But I'm for having a good border, like a good, strong border.
Yeah.
And you really want to get into it? We don't have time.
No.
We don't have time on this show. And it, but it has to do with, it has nothing to do with, how can you say that if you're this religious persuasion? Or it's just a line on a piece of paper. If you're up in outer space, it's all the same thing. It's all one country. We're one people. Kumbaya. And I'm like, you got to stop that nonsense.
Right.
Because we have geographically different governing structures. We have different resources. People are paying taxes for things. And if you start selectively taxing and selectively choosing benefits where the government picks winners and losers, you're going to think I'm nuts when I say it. But like, that's a path towards slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, you're going to be forcibly taking from the production of somebody to give to somebody else against their will.
Right. Here's an interesting one for you. I'm just going to throw a stat out there.
Okay.
I'm going to see if you can actually guess it first.
All right.
What percent of the workforce do you think is made up of undocumented immigrants? Our entire U.S. workforce.
2 to 3%?
Yeah, 5%.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually not as much as you would think.
Yeah. Well, it is if you got rid of 100%.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It
but you're never
is.
But that's the thing. You're never going to get rid of 100%.
No. And here's the thing. If nobody ever asks, like, okay, well, then how would you fix it? Because that's a different conversation, right?
Right.
It's not about
even,
how.
I don't even know that that's right for the show. It's like,
no, it's not.
We're not paid to figure that out.
Well, I mean, I have an offer. It's pretty fast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I would first, I'd shut the border down. Okay.
That's a good start.
I would reform to allow people in with an easier pathway to citizenship if they want to be here. And the folks that are here, some would actually be deported,
mm-hmm.
okay? Especially those that, I think if you're in a situation where you're taking more from the system than you're contributing, okay?
Yeah.
But what I wouldn't do is give everybody citizenship that's here automatically. Maybe a pathway, but it would have to be an earned pathway that's not different than anything else. And there needs to be a proper putting people in line. Right, you can't jump the line and get mm-hmm. special benefits and get special treatment where the taxpayer is, you know, gives you unfair incentives, right? But kicking everybody out, especially people that are in the economy and producing, it's like, well, you're kind of doing the part we're shooting for. But I will say, no, you can't have the vote. You're not a citizen. We can issue some kind of emergency visa, get you in line and start working with you
mm-hmm.
so that it doesn't have to become an immediate deportation. But we can't keep playing this game of let people in
and then just
deal with the consequences never. Right?
Yeah.
You can't do it that way, because what you're doing is you're cheapening it for the people that do it right, and you're really politically disingenuous,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we know that if you pack a bunch of swing states with folks that you let in for free and then the taxpayer pays them to go there, where are they going to vote?
I'm just thinking on the fly. This might be a terrible idea, but what if you were to go to, you know, just let the businesses declare without any penalty? You've got amnesty from this. Go ahead and just tell us who your workers are, how long they've been with you, And, you know, if you've been paying them under the table, undocumented, we're just going to give them citizenship if they've been here working for over a year. Or something to
nope,
that effect.
I still hate it.
Well, you could do something along those lines where it's like, you know what? We're going to give them legal
visa
steps.
Visa status. Not citizen.
A better term for it.
Like
you're going to give them some
worker
sort
of status where you are not ejected from the country.
Bingo.
But you
do not
get to immediately have the status of citizen when you entered illegally.
Perfect. Yeah. Give them some pathway. And it's like, we're going to give you amnesty. As long as you take this route, you can become a citizen.
But I would also start at a point of like, and if you don't have a job already, it's like, here's your window in the next 60 days or whatever it is. But like, I don't want to, this is not, like, Reagan tried this with the amnesty before. And then you know what happened? The borders didn't get fixed and people poured back in. So every time you do one of these offer grace things, they don't. If you don't close the border first and then
it just happens again. You have to secure that first. But, I mean, 50% of our agricultural workers are undocumented illegal
and
aliens.
And people think this is a racist comment. It's like, no, it's not.
No.
It's a national security issue. And this is about taxpayer sovereignty, right? And it's about the sanctity of the vote and how we manage ourselves,
right?
And so there are big picture issues at play here. It's not the moral issue of whether or not you care about people. I'm not trying to kick people out. Like, I'm actually more in favor of
give them a legal pathway.
Easier pathways to become citizens. If people want to be citizens here and they want to come contribute, I'm like, then let's figure out a way to make that work.
Yeah.
Right. It shouldn't take 37 years or whatever nonsense it takes. Right.
Right.
Or, you know, having to marry somebody and try to ride the coattails of a citizen or trying to cheat over the border and have a baby here so that, you know, well, it's natural born and we're using a loophole. It's like all of those are bad things. We should make it work easier for people.
Yeah.
So anyway, it just drives me batty. And the fact that that became an election issue. So let's talk about it. Right. This mass deportation idea. First of all, I don't think there's a snowball's chance that's how it goes down.
You really don't think he pulls it off?
Well, I don't think you would deport 11 million people.
Well, I don't think he can deport that many, but 5 million?
Maybe.
4 million? I think that's getting into the realm of possibility.
Yeah. And, you know, there'll be some complexities to like, well, are you going to tear apart families or whatever? And it's like, no.
Possibly. I mean.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? But the question is, are they legitimate families?
Good question.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there was
a
lot of that.
There's
going on.
Not going to be a clean, easy way or a good way to do this.
No.
Like, but it is a national security. I mean, go look at the news articles of
these. Almost 14,000 known murderers have apparently crossed into the border.
Well, it's worse than that from what I've read. They've found some Chinese military in the United States that were just coming across the border like it was nothing. And they had some plans down in California to do some mass destruction to communities. I'm not going to go into the details. Look it up. You'll find it. Really scary stuff, like possibly poisoning water systems. Not good. We've got to fix it. That's just the reality. And there's no good way to do it.
Yeah.
You gave Trump the steering wheel to a ship that's in the middle of the worst storm in history.
Yeah.
And you're like, get us out of this situation. And guess what?
I will say, you don't make an omelet without breaking eggs. I mean, and that's a really tough thing. And here's the problem. And I'm just going to kind of summarize it this way. Like, mass deportations, the problem would be the labor force shortage. Okay.
Yeah.
We do have a shortage of Americans working. There's still a huge population of U.S. men between the ages of 18 and like 55 that aren't working.
Yep.
Right. And they're able-bodied. Okay.
Yeah.
So there are lots of reasons that we should try to get our own citizens back to work here. And tariffs can work toward that. If we do have deportations, it's going to change the labor market. There will be an adverse effect to changing the labor market. There will be.
Absolutely.
Right? The question is, do you avoid pain? Like, hey, you know what? Exercise sucks, so I'll never get fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Is that really the solution? Like, don't take your vitamins because it's just too hard?
Yeah. Or do you need to just start running 12 miles and really, like,
well,
experience
the
pain?
You got to get off the couch and do something, right? You can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? So there is kind of the big issue. It's like, we can't do nothing about this anymore. And this is no longer an issue of, I think the problem's like this, right? You either see this like a lieutenant or you see this like a general a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the difference is? Generals send troops to battle. Lieutenants send their friends.
Yeah.
Right? How close are you to the issue?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big issue. The big picture is like nobody wants to send somebody off to battle where they're not going to come back. but sometimes it's just a horrible
price that's
part
paid.
Of the yeah. And it's the circumstance, and so you do the best you can to bring as many back as possible.
Yeah, we're trying to preserve freedom in this country.
We're trying to preserve a lot of things, and as crazy as this sounds, we're trying to. I still think we are trying to ultimately produce a favorable result for those that want to immigrate into this country too.
Yeah, right? I think so.
And
yeah, because
what you're
what
doing by turning people criminal when they come in, like the solution is not to decriminalize it. Right? Like, we tried that in Portland with a bunch of drugs, and what do we get? A lot of overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the solution is not to ignore the problem and hope it goes away. It's to address it and take our medicine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
All right, look, we got to take a break. We're running long, so let's get our last break in. When we flip back through here, let's talk about, great, now what? If policies are going to change, how do we pivot? That and more when we come back. This is Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Yeah, True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Stuck on it. Hey, welcome back to the True Well Show, where Matt is doing Trump impressions in the off season here.
Yeah, or, you really off, should be here.
And they're absurd.
But they're great.
Yeah, they're they great. Are. And you know,
catch us after class if you need one of those.
Yeah.
What do people, you know, we don't talk about that enough. What happens when people are like, I really like these guys and I want to just sit down and chat with them and see if they can help me with my finances?
I've never heard of that happening, so.
Yeah, there's your plug for the day. Remember, this is Little John Financial. We're local to the Roseburg area. We also travel to Salem quite a bit, so if you need us, we're around.
We have Zoom, too, so we could be anywhere.
Okay.
It's really, it's interesting because I've gotten bolder, less about being partisan and more about just being like calling things out that I think are bullcrap. And the immigration thing really gets under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
It gets under my skin because I hear a lot of folks who are like, well, Jesus said you're supposed to love your neighbor and do this, that, and the other. And it's like,
I'll just say you weren't my neighbor.
No, I mean, it wasn't that. It's like you're supposed to be kind, and that's true. But it's also like, didn't the cities have walls and gates?
Yeah.
Like it was a safety issue,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, Jesus didn't say, like, indiscriminately let anybody in, even if they're threatening you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was not what was said here. And being somewhere, some jackwagon somewhere is like, so you're saying there are a bunch of criminals in this? I'm like, some, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm also saying, you are breaking the law to cross the border without permission.
Yeah.
Knowingly.
So that instantly makes you a
criminal by definition.
Wow. Look at that.
And so
logic, I know logic's hard these days. This is 2024.
It's hard because it doesn't mean the people don't deserve compassion.
Right.
Right. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like we have got to stop this madness of selectively enforcing the laws based on our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just a recipe for chaos when you're like, well, when does the law count and when doesn't it? Because I'll tell you what it looks like to me. Ready for bitch session on the radio?
Uh-huh.
What it looks like is if you have stuff to take, the law will be enforced upon you. And if you don't, then the law will not be enforced upon you. That's what it looks like in this country right now. Is we will take from the unproductive and turn them into criminals to make sure that the criminals are given comfort. And I'm like, I don't like it.
Nope.
Right? It's a perverse incentive. It's the same reason I'm like, don't give away student loans.
Yeah.
Right? You can't do it. Well, you're giving it to Ukraine. I'm like, I don't like that either. But like, I really don't like the idea of incentivizing people to do bad financial behaviors. Right? Mm-hmm. We'll just forgive the loan. So the people that paid the loan feel even dumber. So now you're going to get less compliance for good behaviors and the bad behaviors you've actually incentivized. And then we look at each other like, I can't believe that happened. And I'm like, what idiot pill did you take? Why wouldn't that happen?
Yeah.
It's like, God, Bernie Sanders, like what part of human nature don't you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, the college kids everywhere are lapping it up because they're like, well, you know, I just want the free stuff, man. I got abused by the man. I'm like,
you're like, no, you
whatever.
Got abused by bad decisions.
Like, you're not working in China where they put nets around the building so that you can't jump to your death. Okay? It's just not the same thing.
No.
Okay.
No.
How did I get here?
If we didn't
want fired up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we
fired
put an
up.
Ice cube on you to try and cool you down, it would do nothing. It would just steam off before it ever touched your skin.
I think it's one of these where I'm just ready for, like, isn't it the communicative property of addition, like A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C? Is that the one? Or transitive property?
I'll just nod with that.
Yeah. Whatever it is, there's that basic math principle that, like, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. But in politics, if A equals B and B equals C, A does not equal C because some random thing that we made up. And I'm like, this is logical inconsistency.
So you don't like the fairy tale land?
I don't.
No.
I don't like the land of, like, we selectively enforce, we selectively interpret. It works in this circumstance, but not in that circumstance. Basically, the land where logic and reason are out the window for, like, feelings and in the moment.
You're a little black and white.
I'm not black and white. I am linear.
There it is. Linear.
Okay? And so it just... Yeah, black and white, there are definitely nuance, there are definitely exceptions. I'm just sick and tired of them all occurring in a nonlinear fashion. It's like, nope, they're just haphazard as to when they occur. Well, how do you do that? Yeah, you just kind of wing it. But you can't wing it every single time.
Yeah, and just make up new rules as you go to infinity.
Just, well, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Yeah, and you know what? There's people out there that know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And so, look. And if you're one of those people and you need help, I guess give us a call. I'm looking at the clock and I realize we're out of time, Matt.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I know this. Regardless of who the president or Congress or the House or Senate is, that the sun rises tomorrow. And so I think we'll work it out.
I like it.
How do they reach us?
541-375-0898, or just shoot us a text or chat us, email us, Littlejohn Financial.
All right. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.